This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They're not dead yet. They're not dead yet. The Boston Celtics beat the New York Knicks in Game 5, 127-102. This series is now 3-2 in favor of New York. I'm your host, John Lyons. I have Tom Crisafulli producing here at WEEI, our studios in Brighton. We'll be here for about the next hour or so breaking down this game. We are going to hear from Justin Turpin at 10:30. We'll hear from Joe Mazzulla post-game as well. 617-779-7937. That's the call line. That's the text line. I want to hear from you, Celtics fans. How do you feel? They're not dead yet. And not only are they not dead yet, they played, to me, I think, their best all-around game of the playoffs tonight. Jaylen Brown was sensational. Derek White was sensational. But the player of the game was probably Luke Kornet, of all people. And we saw a balanced contribution. Celtics are much better defensively in this game. Again, Knicks score 102 points, only 43 in the second half. That comes on the heels of the Knicks scoring 70 in the second half in Game 4. A great response tonight by the Celtics, not only after going down 3-1, but obviously, look, the biggest story in the NBA, Jason Tatum tears his Achilles late in Game 4, has surgery yesterday. He's going to be out at least the next 8 months, potentially, you know, the next 9 to 12 months. I know there's some varying timetables there. We can get into that a little bit later in the show, but for now, again, Celtics 127-102. Luke Kornet was sensational in this game, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks, which is tied for the second most in a playoff game in Celtics history. Luke Kornet was 7 blocks. He was so good, Kristaps Porzingis did not even play in the second half. Kornet started, played the whole third quarter, played a good chunk of the fourth quarter as well. Peyton Pritchard also had 17 points off the bench. Derek White, 34 points tonight to lead the Celtics in scoring. He also had 3 rebounds and a couple assists. And White was really key early in this game, right? So he had 34 points for the game, which is obviously a great number, but 14 points in the first quarter. And if you go back, this was the first quarter. Let's not forget, the Knicks were up by 2, 32-30 at the end of the first quarter. They ended the first quarter on a 10-3 run. Celtics looked a little bit out of it early. You know, part of it was just playing without Tatum logistically and practically, you know, on the court, but also maybe the emotional letdown of not having Tatum out there. The Celtics looked a little bit out of it in that first quarter. Derek White kept them afloat with those 14 points. Because in the first quarter, Porzingis, Horford, and Jrue Holiday, those three guys combined for 1 point in the first quarter. So White kept the team afloat with his 14 points there. Celtics also very aggressive in this game. They got Jalen Brunson to foul out midway through the fourth quarter. 7:19 left in the game. He fouled out. All 6 fouls by Jalen Brunson were committed in the second half. 5 in the third quarter, 1 in the fourth. So Celtics were much more aggressive in tonight's game. And, you know, bears out in the numbers. You kind of saw it watching it, but the Celtics out-rebounded the Knicks. They out-rebounded the Knicks 44-40. Assists 27-17 in favor of the Celtics. Blocks 12-4 in favor of the Celtics. So a much more aggressive game from the Celtics overall. Points in the paint, again, 36-26. Celtics 10-point edge. This was an area that it felt like through most of this series, the Knicks dominated the paint. Not tonight. Key moment for me, though, really goes to the third quarter. And the third quarter has been very hit or miss in this series for the Celtics. In the first two games, they built 20-point leads in the third quarter of both of them. And then that's when it kind of started to fail them. And then it went into the fourth quarter. They blew both of those leads. Tonight, they go into the third quarter tied 59-59. Again, Cornet starts the third quarter. Brown hits a couple free throws early. Celtics take a quick 65-62 lead. And what stood out to me is early in that third quarter, and especially Holiday and Cornet, and I would add Brown as well, just a ton of energy for the Celtics to start that third quarter. Arguably, to me, the most energy they've played with the entire series was early on in that third quarter. Also, Joe Mazzulla challenged an offensive foul on Derek White with 9:07 to go. Celtics win the challenge. That's key because not just was it not a foul on White, that was Brunson's third foul already in that third quarter. And at that point, White hits one of two free throws. It's 70-67. Celtics are gaining some confidence there. Then they go up 72-68 a little bit later. And then, to me, that's where the Celtics started to create some distance. 7:41 left in the third. Derek White's fouled shooting a three. Hits all three of his free throws. Celtics open up a 10-point lead at that point. Brown and Cornette were all over the place defensively in that third quarter, especially right after those three free throws from White. Sam Hauser comes in with 5:47 left. Celtics up by 11. Immediately hits a three to put him up by 14. Knicks call a timeout. Celtics ball movement, by the way, awesome in this third quarter. Then Brunson, a couple minutes later, picks up his fourth foul. Celtics one of two free throws. So they're right, 13-point lead. And then 30 seconds later, so Brunson picks up his fourth foul, 3:17 to go. 30 seconds later, picks up his fifth. Celtics open up an 89-76 lead. They end the quarter 91-76. And to me, that was where they really separated themselves. Cornette had seven blocks in the game. By the end of the third quarter, he had six. He was dominant in that third quarter, played the entire third quarter. And he got to sit for a little bit to start the fourth. And Al Horford comes in, hits a three right away. Then he gets a quick layup. And next thing you know, Celtics are up by 20. So to me, it was that midway through the third quarter on where this game really separated itself for the Celtics. And I credit the energy they came out with. And again, they were losing after the first quarter. I mean, still had some decent energy, but losing after the first quarter. Looked a little bit out of sorts early in that first quarter. Then it's a tie game, 59-59 at halftime. Celtics come out and they turned it on in that third quarter. Credit to them. This was a great response, not only, again, to that Game 4 loss in New York, to being down 3-1, but also to the Tatum injury. And you just, again, I mentioned Celtics, 10-point advantage points in the paint. 4-rebound advantage, 44-40. Luke Cornette. I mean, it's crazy because Derek White, 34 points. Jaylen Brown, 26 points. Horford, 12 points. Holiday, 14 points. But it was Luke Cornette, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks. I think Brown was the number one most impactful player in this game. Cornette was probably a close second. And that's not even anything against Derek White. It's just part of it is the Celtics have gotten nothing from Kristaps Porzingis in this series. They really didn't get anything out of him in the Orlando series either on the whole. I think he had that one good game mixed in there. But they really haven't gotten anything out of him these playoffs. So Cornette came in, and Cornette played 8 minutes in Game 4. 8 minutes total. Comes in tonight, plays 26 minutes. Again, I thought the second most impactful player on the court. Jaylen Brown, 12 assists, playoff career high for him. Just a lot of, but to me, not just bounce back performances, but elevated performances from the Celtics tonight. I see some of you lining up on the phone line on the text line, 617-779-7937. Talk anything Celtics you want from tonight. Again, 127-102 Celtics win. Let's start with the phones here. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. Wants to talk Celtics. Paul, welcome in. What do you got?
Well, I just got a quick cringe, a chill, and then to tell them to set the pie hole pill. because he reminded us in the first quarter, out of sorts. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, here we go. We'll never hear the end of this. And then to the people who said, oh, they're all done. The team's falling apart. We got to rearrange. 11 times we had it back against the wall. And 9 times we won. That's 2 for you and 9 for us. It's why the Raptors say world champions. And then again, you have to come back to the reality that Derrick White is back, high scorer. We saw Jalen with 12 record assists moving the ball around. And God bless Virginia. No one wants to see him more than we do, but he's obviously very sick. And you don't put a sick person out there. It's sad. And then look what happened when we replaced him. We look at the team that can play together, move the ball around, adapt and shift based upon whether they're playing inside, outside, and win. We have more time. We just have a chance to express it now. Really shifty, but great surprise, and I expected this to come back.
Paul, thanks for the call. And I'm going to get to this a little bit later when I look ahead to next game. I think the biggest question going into next game is, can you get another effort from Luke Kornet like this? And I'm not saying he's going to have 7 blocks again, tied for the second most in a playoff game in Celtics history. I'm not saying you're necessarily going to get that again, but can you get a really impactful effort from Luke Kornet once again? Because, again, Porzingis is a unicorn. Last year he was great. I still maintain the best the Celtics have played in the last 15 years was his minutes in game 1 of the finals last year. Porzingis, when he came back on November 25th this season, he was great from then on. January, February, he was playing great basketball. But ever since he got that illness in March, he's been a different guy. I mean, this was a guy, let's not forget, among qualifiers, led the NBA in points per possession on post-ups on offense. Now he looks like he just doesn't have the strength on the inside. Missing threes left and right. Not impactful defensively. And it's sad to see. It's unfortunate. So the question then becomes, do you get another effort from Kornet like this? Or do you get a big Horford game coming up after this? Because Horford tonight, I mentioned him briefly, but not that much. Quiet start for him in the first quarter, but he finished the game 12 points, 5 rebounds. Solid defensively. Jrue Holiday as well, quiet start, end of the game 14-7-3. So, I mean, these are guys that as the game went on, their impact increased. So can you get another game out of Kornet like this? Can Hauser, who gave you 6 points tonight, can he give you a little bit more? Pritchard gave you 17 off the bench. Because I think if you're going to win game 6, yeah, you obviously need Brown and White to play well. Like right now, Jaylen Brown and Derek White are your 2 best players. Yeah, Porzingis, again, just not the same guy. We all love Jrue Holiday. But right now, I think that Derek White is your 2nd best player. I mean, with Tatum out, it's Derek White is your 2nd best player. Jaylen Brown is obviously your best player. Tonight, Kornet was your 3rd best player. I don't know if you're going to get that in game 6. I mean, if you get that in game 6, then I think you're in great shape. But I think, again, that to me is the biggest story tonight. Obviously, Celtics stay alive. Jaylen Brown is tremendous. Also, quick note on Jaylen Brown. I mean, the last time he had a real opportunity like this, game 7 against Miami in 2023, and he had a really bad night. So just to see him 2 years later, obviously finals MVP, but now to be the driving force in a 25-point win to stay alive in the playoffs after the Tatum injury, that was cool to see for me as a Celtics fan. And it's funny because 12 assists, that's obviously a great number, playoff career high. I think he was even better than the stat sheet showed. And there was one play I think that epitomized the entire night for the Celtics. It came with 7.5 minutes left in the game. Brown had an open 3, faked it. Burst inside, Holiday cut to the basket. Brown found him as he was cutting to the basket. Easy layup for Holiday. Celtics go up by 23. Right, and we know, right, the Celtics are going to be a high-volume 3-point shooting team. And hey, they won a championship last year shooting a high volume of threes. Tonight they shot 49 threes, and they hit 44% of them, right? 22 for 49. So I know the 3-ball is the key to their offense. But it felt like tonight, not just the raw numbers shooting threes were down, it just felt like their ball movement was better, their offensive flow was better. I usually hate to use the quote-unquote balance word. I hate balanced offense in most sports. I think that's a term that a lot of people don't fully understand when they use it. But it did feel like it was more balanced tonight, if I'm being honest. And it just flowed better. There was more ball movement. There was more people movement tonight. It just felt like everybody on the Celtics, they know Tatum is out. They know they needed to step up. And collectively, you got just about everyone to step up. Again, quiet night from Porzingis. He still doesn't look right. Pretty much everyone else stepped up for you. All right? 17 for 26 from the free throw line. I would like to see that be a little bit better. But really, that's the only blemish on the night. Celtics are great, especially in this second half. I mean, you'll get that third quarter. 32-17. Celtics outscore the Knicks in the third quarter. And then they keep their foot on the gas pedal and outscore the Knicks by 10 in the fourth. And I know the last few minutes of the fourth, garbage time, both teams had their backups in. But still, I mean, what did we see in game one, game two? Right? Celtics did not keep their foot on the gas pedal. Even game four, Celtics were up 39-28 at the end of the first quarter in game four. Didn't keep their foot on the gas pedal. Tonight, they kept their foot on the gas pedal. 32-17 in the third, 36-26 in the fourth. So just a great effort, great bounce back effort for the Celtics. To me, key moment though, that midway through the third quarter till the end. This was a 70-67 game with 9 minutes left in the third. And then 7:41 left again. Derek White fouled shooting that three. Maybe of the 34 points he scored, those three free throws might have been the biggest, as great as he was in the first quarter. Then the Celtics open up a 10-point lead. Before you know it, 7 minutes later, they're up by 15 at the end of the quarter. They keep their foot on the gas pedal, get it over 20, and then cruise to the win from there. I'm your host, John Lyons, here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. That is the call line and the text line. Coming up next, we're going to keep going through this game. We've got your calls. We've got your texts. Justin Turpin is going to join me at 10:30 as well. But before we get to that, let's grab a quick trending with our producer, Tom Crisafulli.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox lose their third straight to the Tigers. This one, another one-run loss, making it 12 one-run losses on the season so far for the Sox. They come back home for a 10-game homestand, and they start off with the Braves on Friday. Garrett Crochet will be on the mound for the Sox, and old friend Chris Sale will be on the mound for the Braves. Coverage starts here at 6:10 on WEEI with the first pitch at 7:10. And the Boston Celtics kept their season alive tonight with a Game 5 win over the New York Knicks. And while Derek White led the way with 34 points, the surprising hero of the game was Luke Kornet. Yes, you heard me correctly. Luke Kornet was a surprising hero of the game tonight with 10 points and 7 blocks. The Celtics go back to New York and play Game 6 on Friday, looking to send it back to TD Garden for Game 7. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's what's trending here on WEEI and WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
.com.
How about that backwards dunk by Cornette, by the way? Like, I just talked for 15 minutes about the game, and I kind of glossed over that. That was awesome. Luke Cornette again, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks. Right now, go to a little Twitter poll at WEEI. Who is the Celtics Game 5 MVP? 54% of you folks out there think it was Luke Cornette. Derek White, 26%. Jaylen Brown, 19%. Again, 617-779-7937. I'm your host, John Lyon. Celtics win in Game 5, 127-102. There will be a Game 6 Friday night at Madison Square Garden. I got my producer, Tom Krissa Fuley.
Yes, sir.
How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great, John. It's a lot better than the last time we were here together.
Yeah. Our show on Monday night, Tom, was, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, but it had like a funeral vibe. Like,
it was sad.
Celtics went down 3-1. Tatum had just gotten hurt. At least we have a more fun show to do tonight. So Celtics, again, win 127-102. Let's hear now from the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Joe Mazzulla.
12 assists. What did you see from him, both in terms of his facilitating, getting everyone involved, but also the leadership that he demonstrated tonight?
Yeah, I think his leadership came on the defensive end, just with his physicality and his presence. I thought the dive into the bench kind of changed the game for us. There was other game-changing plays, but I thought that was one of them. So he was just great on all levels. Just took it upon himself to guard Brunson, set the tone, and he did that on both ends.
Joe, what led to you going to Fluke there to start the second half? And can you speak just to how big of a boost he gave you guys in that third quarter?
Luke. Yeah, he was great. Just both ends of the floor. Did a great job protecting the rim. Did a great job defending without fouling. Did a great job on both ends of the floor. So I just thought his presence was good, especially on the rebounding. Had 9 rebounds, 2 offensive ones. He made some big-time plays for us.
Joe, Luke's like positioning, his ability to like occupy space in the dunker spot, and just on both ends of the floor, like, how have you seen him improve? Has he always been good at that? Like, how big are those little like adjustments underneath the basket for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's just good at being in the right place at the right time, anticipating the play on both ends. So can go to different layers of our defense, can do different stuff on offense, but it's just his basketball IQ. He works at it. He's also a really smart player, works hard.
Joe, how good was it to get Sam back tonight?
It was great. Another layer of a different level of offensive pace. I think he had some good defensive stops, but I was getting another guy out there that could move, screen, cut, facilitate, create two-on-ones in different ways. I thought he gave us some good stuff.
Joe, quicker subs, it felt like tonight, going to Pritchard, going to Cornette. In a situation like this, when you're in an elimination game, when you see, maybe certain lineups or certain things might be a better way to go, how much do you have to adjust in that moment to go to some decisions like that quicker? Like, how much do you alter your coaching approach in an elimination game?
Drew had 2 fouls, so we went with Peyton early. So, you have to adjust in that situation. But at the end of the day, you just, that's something that we've always done. Just play different lineups, do what makes sense, try to win the matchup on both ends of the floor. Obviously, foul trouble played in some of the substitutions that we made, in both halves.
Joe, is this the most connected you felt like the group was on both ends of the floor tonight, just in terms of flow, creating shots, and also on the defensive end with switching off and so forth?
I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, this team's been around a long time. They've done stuff together. I think it was just we did what was necessary to do what we needed to do to get back to New York. So made winning plays on both ends of the floor. Each guy, everybody in that locker room has another layer that they can get to. And, they did that as the game went on, and we just have to continue to do that. But it's a credit to the guys in the locker room, getting another shot to play.
Joe, kind of following that up with an emotional, I'm sure, couple of days. How did you like the response from your team in an elimination game with everything they've been through and the way they came out tonight?
Yeah, like I said, whatever it is that we got to go through, there's no bunch of people I'd rather do it than the guys in that locker room. It's that simple. They made enough plays to win, gave us another chance to play.
Gary Johnson here. Joe, you've always trusted your core lineup. You don't change like the main lineup a ton. You trust your top players. So making the switch going away from KP for the second half, just how difficult of a decision has it been kind of maybe evaluating that throughout the series and then making that call tonight?
He couldn't breathe. And, so he was available if absolutely necessary. And so, that was just a decision between me and him. He was having just difficulties breathing, but he wanted to be out there. And if we absolutely needed him, we would have been able to go to him and rely on him. But you've seen a lot of that this year. Changing the lineup at halftime is something that we've done a lot, this year, because it just adds a different dimension and can change sub patterns throughout the game. So it's a credit to the guys just buying into what gives us the best chance to win each and every night. And, I know KP will be ready for us.
Joe, stylistically, without Jason, what did you guys focus on? What do you need to do without him to be at your best?
You never want to be without any of your players, especially one of your best ones, but we've gotten plenty of reps at that, and regardless of who the player is out, each guy steps up and plays a different role, and so, we have multiple identities on both ends of the floor, and tonight we were able to tap into, one of the ones that we have without him, and we just got to continue to do that.
That was Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla after tonight's 127-102 win. A couple other notes on Luke Kornet. This from Taylor Snow on Twitter. First player, Luke Kornet is, in NBA playoff history with at least 10 points, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks, and a 100 field goal percentage. So Luke Kornet literally made history. And by the way, according to NBA.com, stats after the game, Kornet 43.1 net rating tonight. So pretty good for Luke Kornet tonight. Again, it was a three-headed monster between him, Jaylen Brown, and Derek White. Obviously, don't leave out Peyton Pritchard and his 17 points as well. Jrue Holiday, 14 points as well. And in a game, and you heard Mazzulla say, Kristaps Porzingis couldn't breathe to start the second half. So with Porzingis unavailable for the entire second half, you saw Kornet play the entire third quarter. Horford started the fourth quarter, then Kornet went back in. And it felt like Kornet, yeah, obviously 7 blocks is a big number. Huge blocks as they went in that third quarter run, which again, I thought was the most important part of the game. From about that 7:45 mark or so from the third quarter on, really, once Derek White could foul shooting that three with 7:41 left, to me, that's when the game turned. That was a 7-point game at that point. By the end of the quarter, it was a 15-point game. Then a few minutes after that, it was a 22-point game early in the fourth quarter, after Horford hit a light. So it's just, that to me was where the game changed, and Kornet and of course Derek White were at the center of it along with Jaylen Brown. This was a game tonight. We're going to have Justin Turpin on in just a couple minutes here. He's got a report from TD Garden. Again, this is a game tonight. Celtics trailed 32-30 at the end of the first quarter. Tie game at halftime. Then they really separated themselves in the third quarter, continued to keep their foot on the gas pedal in the fourth quarter, something they failed to do in their first two home games of this series. And right now we do have Justin Turpin from the TD Garden. Turp, welcome in. How you doing?
I'm all right, John. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem as always. Now, Turp, last time we talked, it was a very somber occasion. It was after the Celtics went down 3-1. It was after Jason Tatum suffered his injury. Now, a couple days later, Celtics win a game. It's 3-2. They have an opportunity Friday night in Game 6 to extend this series further. I want to start, though, with the atmosphere in the Garden, because I think this was one of those nights, especially the emotional letdown of Tatum's Achilles injury, the announcement yesterday. How was the atmosphere in that Garden to start the game, and how was it throughout the game?
Yeah, John, honestly, I was a little bit worried at the beginning because it was a really late arriving crowd and there was a lot of empty seats at the beginning, but traffic was absolutely brutal today, so it does make sense, but it filled out towards the end. There was a lot of Knicks fans here, obviously, with the proximity, it makes it a lot easier. In fact, before the game, there was a Knicks and 5 chant going on, and they were trying to shut that down a little bit, but no, the crowd was good. They were into it. It really did feel like, in the end, just a normal game. I mean, obviously, we all know what's going on with Jason Tatum. We all know what this team is facing right now in terms of this series, even with this win. But for the most part, I mean, they just kind of felt like a normal day.
So, Turp, I got a poll going right now at WEEI on Twitter. 53% of people think Luke Kornet was the Game 5 MVP. Do you agree with that, or do you think it was Brown? You think it was White? Who's your MVP tonight?
That is a great question. I am going to go with Jaylen Brown. As great Luke Kornet was, he completely changed that game in the third quarter. Obviously, Derek White, a 30-point game as well, but Jaylen Brown just put up a stat line that's only been rivaled by three other players in franchise history, and that's John Havlicek, Rajon Rondo, and Larry Bird. I mean, he was terrific tonight. He was picking up Jalen Brunson full court. He did a really good job in helping get Jalen Brunson into foul trouble all in the third quarter. Can you believe that? He had five fouls in the third quarter.
Yeah, that was crazy. Six nuts. In the second half, five in the third quarter. That was nuts.
Crazy. And I think Jalen did a good job in helping with that. So I do give it to Jalen Brown. Obviously, all the attention was on him today, right? Everyone was wondering how he'd react. He's been on this situation before, and he's proven he's capable, but everyone was a little bit worried coming off last game. I think everyone, he was under so much scrutiny, so much, you know, eyes were on him just because of the way he played last game, and he answered the call. He was absolutely terrific tonight, and they don't win this game without Jalen Brown.
So, Terp, tonight the Celtics out-rebounded the Knicks. They were plus 10 in assists. They were plus 8 in blocks, and they were plus 10 points in the paint. And I know Luke Kornet was a huge part of that. We're going to get to him in just a minute. But how much of that, in your mind, is attributed to Jaylen Brown? Now that with Tatum out, he's the center of things. He's such a downhill player. Not that he can't shoot, but he's such a downhill player. How much of the style they played tonight do you think relates to Jaylen Brown?
I think a lot of it. I think they're playing faster. And, you know, you just mentioned it. Jaylen Brown likes to get downhill. And that creates – and I think that actually attributes to the three-point shooting as well, because you're getting drive and kick opportunities. So, yeah, I think the style of play was going to change with Jaylen Brown. Like, that was just the reality. That's how it is. I mean, they play differently. They play great together, but Jason Tatum is more of a let's slow it down, let's play a little bit slower, and Jaylen Brown's like, let's go and get out and run and get in transition. So I think that was a big factor in it, and he did a great job, just his leadership, his poise, and all of that. So I was really impressed with him tonight.
So you mentioned something about, like, Tatum, how he likes to slow it down a little bit more. That's something I was thinking about before the game. Both these teams near the bottom of the league in pace of play. Celtics, I think, were 29th this year in pace of play. And we saw last year Luke Kornet have a big series against Cleveland, a team that liked to play a little bit slower, and the Celtics pushed them a little bit. Do you think pace is going to be something that the Celtics are going to really try to make a focal point in Game 6? Because it felt like tonight there was times where they made the pace of play a real focal point.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has been the entire series as well. The problem is they've struggled at times to execute that. And I think pace can come in different ways. I think people often look at it as just transition opportunities. But you can still work with quick pace in the half court, right? You can use pace off makes, right? Like, as long as you're getting into your actions early on the shot clock, that constitutes as pace. So I think it is going to be a point of emphasis. And this team is just so much better when the ball is moving. And the ball often moves more when you're getting out and running, when you're playing fast. I mean, I think I referenced it after Game 4 as well. When they record 20-plus assists this postseason, they're undefeated. They're 4-0. All of those wins have come by double digits. And it's been said about this team for a while now that when they are moving the ball, they are a better team. And we're seeing that in this postseason. So I think pace has a lot to do with that, and it should be a point of emphasis.
All right, so Terp, it's been almost 5 minutes so far, and we haven't really got into Luke Kornet. I thought he was sensational tonight off the bench, a game that he played the entire third quarter with Kristaps Porzingis sideline. Just give me your thoughts on Luke Kornet tonight, his impact offensively and especially defensively as well.
Yeah, John, he's been doing this all year. I mean, it might not always look like this in the box score, but he comes out and just does his job every single night. He's just one of the most consistent players on this team, one of the most intelligent basketball IQ players on this team. And it's good to see him kind of validated with a big performance like this. And when we were sitting up there in the press box watching, I was talking to Megan Arlini, and I said, a role player has to step up here. And that was early on in the game where it was kind of just Jalen and Derek shouldering the load. And then Luke Kornet comes in and he changed the game. Even in the first quarter, I thought it was crazy that he didn't play in the second quarter. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis clearly didn't have it. Joe Mazzulla actually just said that he was having trouble breathing, which is why Porzingis didn't play in the second half. And I think it was also easy to get away from Porzingis in the second half because of how well Luke Kornet was playing. I mean, just on both ends of the floor making a difference. That reverse dunk was crazy. Like, who would have thought Luke Kornet throwing down reverse dunks in a playoff game? Like, that was a lot of fun. And he just does his job, man. And it's good to see him kind of get that validation.
So the key question for me, Terp, Friday night, can Luke Kornet do that again? I mean, I agree with what you're saying that he's been doing stuff like this all year, but I mean, 9 rebounds and 7 blocks is 9 rebounds right. and 7 blocks. I mean, is that something you think he can do again, or is this gonna? Are they gonna need another, a different role player to step up?
I think everyone actually did their job tonight. Just like to start with that, like every player that played at least 25 minutes scored in double figures. So this was a collective approach. But to answer your question, I think he should start in game six. I really do think he should start. I think Kristaps Porzingis this postseason has been a disaster for him. There's no one that would argue to the contrary there. It's just brutal for him. It's been a tough go. Luke Kornet has been one of their more efficient players, one of their more impactful players this postseason. So if he's given the opportunity, yes, this series plays well for him. He can play physical. And I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns really likes that physicality. Mitchell Robinson's one, and he does a great job actually countering what Mitchell Robinson brings as well. So if I was Joe Mazzulla, I would start Luke Kornet in game six. And that's not just being a prisoner of the moment. Like, he has been very good this series. They at times have needed him on the floor more than probably they've had him on the floor, just because obviously you trust Porzingis. He trusts his guys. And that's kind of one thing about Joe. One flaw that he's had this postseason is he's been kind of reluctant early on to get away from struggling starters, to get guys like Pritchard in, to get guys like Kornet in. Now that it's, you know, your back's against the wall, you're facing elimination each and every night, I think he's going to get away from that a little bit more. And I really would not be surprised if Luke Kornet starts in game six.
So I hear that, Terp, and then I look at Derek White, who played the most minutes on the team tonight with 40, 34 points. I thought a really impactful 14 points in that first quarter when the Celtics were scuffling a little bit to kind of get energy and get into the game. 24 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He was your second best offensive player tonight, in my mind, behind Brown. Is this a role that he can have going forward in the play? Do you think it's sustainable for him to be their second best offensive player going forward?
Is it sustainable? Absolutely. I mean, 30 points a night is going to be tough to match, but like, he can score in the 20s each and every night. I mean, here's the thing I think a lot of people are kind of overlooking with this entire Jason Tatum thing. He was taking 20 shots a game. That's almost a quarter of the shots that of the team were going to Jason Tatum. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, that's absolutely how it should be. He's the best player in the team, one of the best players in the league. He should be getting that kind of shot volume. But those are 20 shots now that need to be taken elsewhere. And your two offensive threats, like you just said, are Derek White and Jaylen Brown. So they're going to have more opportunities to shoot the ball, which in turn should need more points. So, yeah, I absolutely think it's sustainable. Maybe not, again, he's not going to average 30 points per game, but can he average in the 20s or a little bit above that? Absolutely. And, I mean, they've all sacrificed. It's been a key word about this team, just sacrifice, and everyone just giving up a little bit on the personal side just for the betterment of the team. And now with Jason gone, that's kind of out the window. Now everyone needs to step up a notch here, and I think Derek White is absolutely capable of it, and I think Jaylen Brown's also capable of these performances as well. I mean, think about the two games that Jason's missed this postseason. Jaylen Brown's come out and delivered when they needed him most. Game 2 against Orlando, he was fantastic. Tonight, he was fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, it's sustainable. It might not always look as dominant as it was today, but, you know, it makes you think a little bit like, hey, maybe they can be all right.
I thought tonight, Terp, was the Celtics' best defensive effort probably of the series. And I know in Game 2 they only gave up 91 points, but without Tatum, and then they got Brunson in foul trouble, it felt like they frustrated the Knicks' offense throughout the entirety of the game. Only 43 points allowed in the second half. Anything different they did defensively tonight, or was it just more activity and more effort?
Just more activity and effort. There was really nothing that I saw, at least that had to watch back again, but I didn't see any difference in the coverage or anything. It's just they brought it. And honestly, their defense has been really good this postseason, and especially in this series against the Knicks. Like, if you're looking at their numbers, like, Jalen Brunson's been held relatively inefficient. Karl-Anthony Towns has had a couple of games here and there, but you know, for the most part, he's been inefficient as well. So I think the defense has been good and wasn't the second half of Game 4, but it has been doing the job for the most part. And that's when the Celtics are at their best. And we talked about the pace. You can push in the half court. You can have pace off makes, but it's so much easier to find that pace, get out and run and play in transition when you're getting stops. So they were doing that tonight, which helped aid their efforts in that department. So yeah, it all starts with the defense, and it's been great all postseason. It's been great this series with the exception of Game 4, and I didn't see anything differently necessarily tonight. There was more activity. They were fighting for their lives, and they showed it.
He is Justin Turpin of WEEI.com, does a great job covering the Celtics. Turp, last question, I'll get you out. Who wins Game 6 and why?
Oh, I mean, after watching this, I feel like all the pressure's now on New York. I mean, I know it's kind of weird to say that when Boston's in the deficit 3-2, but like all the pressure's now is on the Knicks, and the Celtics have proven that they can beat this team time and time again. In fact, they probably should have been calling it a series tonight. Really, the only game the Knicks beat them that really outclassed them, outplayed, and outcoached them was game four, in my opinion. Like, it was open shots missing in game one and two. Like, this should have been the series clincher tonight, if you're thinking about it. So when you're looking at it that way, man, it's tough to rule this team out. I know they're without Jason Tatum, but there is still so much talent on this team, and it goes beyond what people are just looking at, right? Guys like Luke Kornet, when you're thinking about the talent on this team, Luke Kornet is not the face that pops in your head, right? It's Kristaps Porzingis, it's Peyton Pritchard, it's Al Horford. But then you got guys like Kornet stepping up the way they did, and it's a reminder how deep this team is. So, yeah, I'll say it, like, the pressure's all in New York. So I'm not ruling out Boston in this series. I'm certainly not ruling out in game six, and I actually give them the edge going into game six. And, you know, New York's playing with fire a little bit here.
All right, Justin Turpin, thank you very much. As always, have a great rest of your night.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right, I am John Lyons. I got Tom Crisafulli producing for me. And we'll be right back here on WEI to talk more about this Celtics win. 617-779-7937. Your calls, your texts. Again, Celtics win to force a game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Six. Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. That play, the holiday layup, came with 7:36 left, put the Celtics up by 23, but I thought, to me, it was the perfect encapsulation of everything in tonight's game for the Celtics. High energy, high effort, but also not just settling for threes. And look, they're a high-volume three-point team. They won a championship last year doing that. I'm not one of those people that says don't shoot threes. But I think this was one of those instances where their threes were largely open. They got a lot of drive and kick threes. They had a lot of plays like this where they took advantages of mismatches. Jaylen Brown downhill. Jrue Holiday sees it, cuts to the basket. Brown sees him. Boom, easy layup. You're up by 23. You're off to the races from there. This is a game, too. I haven't talked too much about this yet. Jalen Brunson fouled out of this game. And I talked a little bit earlier about the Celtics' aggressiveness. But just to kind of, you know, put it together here, you look at Ananobi had three fouls, whatever, no big deal. Towns had four and was in foul trouble part of this game. Brunson fouled out with six. So these are the two guys. Remember, go back to games one and two. You had some success going at these guys, but you didn't take full advantage of it. Tonight, the Celtics did. Brunson, six fouls. All six came in the second half. Five of them in the third quarter. I think he had three in the first 3 minutes of the third quarter. Like, again, Celtics were aggressive. They took advantage of the Knicks players in foul trouble, unlike game one and two. So you get Towns at four, you get Brunson at six. And look, realistically, you look forward to game six Friday night. I don't think Brunson's going to foul out. I also don't think Cornette's going to have seven blocks. So what's the recipe for the Celtics to win game six and have a game seven on Monday night with a chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals? I mean, you look at these five games. I thought Justin Turpin, who we had on last segment, made a great point. There's been five games so far. The Knicks have only been the better team, really, in one of them. And look, I'm not saying the Celtics played poorly in games one and two, and the Knicks played great down the stretch. But for the entirety of that game, the Celtics were mostly better. There's really only been one game that from start to finish it felt like the Knicks were better. And even game four, the Celtics had an 11-point lead at the end of the first quarter. So it was really those final three quarters, I thought the Knicks were much better than the Celtics. They had 70 points in the second half of that game four. Other than that, Celtics were obviously much better in game three. They were much better tonight. And for most of games one and two, they were better. So you look forward to game six. Can you get another night from Jaylen Brown like tonight? Again, Jaylen Brown's sensational tonight, 26, 8, and 12. Now, I don't think he's going to necessarily have 12 assists again, but can you get eight? Can you get seven or eight assists? Can you get in the mid-20s? Derek White, can you get in the mid-20s at least points? Maybe not 34 again. And Cornette, maybe not 10, 9, and with seven blocks, but can you get 6 to 8 points, maybe 9 or 10 rebounds and four blocks? And the issue there is you are going to need someone else. Like, I look at Sam Hauser, 6 points tonight, 2 of 5 shooting from three. Looked like he tweaked the ankle a little bit at one point, stayed in the game. Can you get a big night from Sam Hauser? Right, Porzingis gave you nothing tonight. Was not good in the first half. Couldn't breathe, according to Joe Mazzulla. Didn't play in the second half. So do you get a big night from Al Horford? You go back to last year. Game five against Cleveland, Al Horford was terrific. Game three against Indiana on the road, Al Horford hit seven threes. Can you get a game like that from Al Horford at MSG? Something, because you're going to need someone. There's going to have to be someone else. Like, you're going to need Brown to have a big night. You're going to need Derek White to play well again. And you're going to need Cornette to be impactful inside. But I feel like you're going to need a big night from someone else. And I'm looking at Sam Hauser and I'm looking at Al Horford. And I think it's going to have to be one of those two guys are going to have to big night. Can Sam Hauser come off the bench and get you 18 points Friday night? Can Al Horford hit 4 or 5 threes on Friday night? Like, can one of those guys do something like that? Because to me, that's the recipe for winning. Terp talked about starting Cornette. I'm open to it. If Porzingis isn't fully healthy, I'm starting Cornette. You do not want to go to game six at MSG and be down 12 points at the end of the first quarter because Porzingis is struggling to go up and down the court and is not the same guy. I think if Cornette is ready to go in game six, Porzingis isn't ready. Cornette's the guy. I just think that's the guy you start. You bring Horford off the bench, maybe sprinkle in some Porzingis, see what you get from him, because you've really got nothing most of these playoffs. So see what you get. But I would lean towards starting Cornette. And they started a double big lineup tonight with Horford and Porzingis. But if Porzingis is going to be that limited, maybe you start Cornette and Hauser or something to, or maybe you start, I don't know what combination you do, but I think you're going to need a big night from Horford or Hauser, obviously, ideally both, and that's going to be the recipe to win game six. And I think Terp's also right. Pressure is now on the Knicks. I mean, if you're the Knicks, you saw the Celtics lose their best player for the rest of the series. You saw them play terribly in the fourth quarters of game one and two. You saw them play terribly in the final three quarters of game four. And then you came out and you lost by 25 tonight. Now, maybe if you're the Knicks, you're thinking, hey, we went there, they had a good night, we'll be fine in game six. All right. It's plenty of teams have thought that. But, I mean, the Celtics did it last year in the NBA Finals, got blown out in Game 4, fine in Game 5, right? So not out of the realm of possibility, but I think the pressure has now shifted because the Knicks, I think the talent right now is just about equal. I might even still give the Celtics, if Porzingis was healthy, I would give the Celtics a little bit of an edge in talent. But with Porzingis not healthy, I think the talent is pretty much even. And the Knicks are at home up 3-2. Like, to me, that's where the pressure resides right now, is with the Knicks. And the Celtics, they're going to need another great Jaylen Brown night. And Jaylen Brown was great in Game 2 against Orlando when Tatum had to miss a night. Jaylen Brown was great tonight. They're going to need that to continue. This guy didn't win Finals MVP by accident. This is an all-NBA supermax-level player. They're going to need that. And I know when Tatum is healthy, Brown's the second-best player on the team. But what they're going to need is that supermax guy who tonight, 12 assists tonight, drove the entire offense, came out and attacked early. That's what you're going to need from Jaylen Brown. You're going to need a supermax guy in Game 6 to win and force a Game 7. And you're going to need White to be good again. You're going to need Cornette to be impactful again. And one of Horford and Hauser. And you know what? Maybe I'm being a little green teamy-ish. That's not a word, but I'm going to say it's a word. Before I wrap up the show, I think the Celtics do win Game 6. I think they go there and they win. And again, you're not going to get Brunson to follow. I think Game 6 is going to be a clutch time game. I think the Celtics, but that's what it's going to come down to. And I know Brunson is clutch player of the year. I get it. The Knicks have been better than the Celtics in the clutch in this series. But the Celtics went 24-11 in clutch time games in the regular season, which was the best record in the NBA in clutch time games. I think they're going to win one clutch time game this series. Maybe not the majority against a guy like Brunson, but I think they win one. And I think it's Game 6. So I think Game 6 comes down to the wire, but I think the Celtics win and force a Game 7 on Monday night. Tom Crisafulli, what do you think?
I'm scared for Game 6 because Brunson has yet to have a game where he is otherworldly. Game 4, he was really good.
He did have 39, but you're right, yeah.
He hasn't had that game where he's been special. And I feel like Game 6, MSG, really the clinching game because you do not want to come back to TD Garden for a Game 7 where anything can happen. I think Brunson, after fouling out, he'll be mad. I'm worried about Game 6, but you have to take the Boston Celtics. You have to.
Yeah. And I think the only fear now is if the Celtics start to run out of gas a little bit, right? Remember, go to the NBA Finals last year. Holiday and White played in the Olympics. Porzingis obviously is out of it, so that's more minutes for Horford and Cornette. That's the only concern. Do they start to run out of gas? They had such a great effort tonight, but I'm still going to pick the Celtics. So for Tom Crisafulli, I'm John Lyons. This was Celtics postgame here on WEEI. Hopefully we'll hear from you Friday night after Game 6. Thanks again. Celtics win 127-102, Game 6 Friday night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.